3CR Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Alternative news, analysis, and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. until 8:30 a.m.
James Milne, you're from the Residents Against the Tunnel, or RATS as it's called.
Absolutely. Proudly called.
Proudly called. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of RATS?
Well, RATS came about strictly because of the East-West Link. We were formed from just a residents getting together, in fact, from a letter published in The Age, and then people contacted each other and said, what are we doing about this? So it's one of many residents groups that are very affected by this and very interested in this issue, but we are specifically about the tunnel, as you can tell from our name, or about the East-West Link project.
And you've got some involvement in the legal action that's now in process in the Supreme Court?
Well, the action's been taken by Tony Murphy, he's the litigant, but we've been very supportive and helpful in that.
What's your view on the action and its role in the actual demonstration against the East-West Link?
Well, we think it's very important, and it's been fabulous news for us that it's got up and that they've now filed the papers for this, because this is really one of the most important aspects of this whole thing is the process and the good governance and the transparency, all of which has been missing from this proposal and this project. And this is trying to shine some light on that. This is the only way of doing it. The government has very effectively disenfranchised the community. And so Tony's actions strike at the heart of that and have the potential really to open this right up and show people what's going on.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that, you know, there are different prongs or different ways of raising awareness regarding the East-West Link. So there's been the community picket, which has been quite strong attack.
Yep.
But then this other thing about using the law,
yep,
to actually expose process,
yes,
is something that your organisation, your group of people, mm, see as being highly important.
Very important. And because we believe that even if you fully supported the project, that people who might think that we need a car-based solution to our problems, I think would be horrified if they understood the process that has gone on and what it means, and that people, there is a group of people who oppose it just on that basis, that there's no transparency,
yeah,
involved. This is an extraordinary project in terms of driving a major road through an existing complex historical community, a densely populated community, and you basically either engage with the community in a deep fashion, which takes a long time and is very exhausting, or you basically disregard the rights of that community, and that's the path that government has chosen very clearly, was they had an election timetable, they needed to get this thing through, and they made decisions, and very much risk-based decisions of, we can do this, we can just bulldoze this through, quite literally. And that's the instructions that have been given to all parties in this, is that you won't stop and consult. You'll just get this, make this happen.
So do you see this as being an attack on democracy, basically?
Oh, absolutely. This is really undermines some of the fundamentals about how good governance should occur.
Mm. So in terms of the timeline, as a tactic, as it were, because I read an article where it was, it was in the Herald Sun. we laugh. But there was a sort of a spiteful little quote from the minister saying that some people will try to use the law to further their political aims, unquote. And a very spiteful sort of approach to the idea of democracy.
Yes, well, I mean, you can. I could totally agree with that in terms of politics is people and their interests. And of course, we use politics. Everybody has political aims. But no, I think their implication is that the people are opposing this because they support a particular political party or anything else. But as you said, RATS is a very broad group. There is no political agenda here in terms of what candidates we support or anything else like that. We want light exposed on this project, and we'll support any political party who is doing that.
The legal action potentially could delay the process of the signing of those contracts, which was exactly the same aim as the community picket,
yep,
essentially. the government is in the process of saying things like, oh, we're going to have free city travel and we're going to reduce the cost for people in Zone 2, which is probably all the things that should have happened anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And pretending that they're the friend of the people in public transport land, even though every time you try and use a public transport during peak times, it's actually impossible.
Yeah.
Do you think that the actions of people trying to raise the general community's understanding of public transport issues and the distribution of funds across the state is actually going to have any traction?
Well, I, as you say, I actually support it in terms of those other actions the government taken. All seem reasonable. And we basically what we're arguing for is balanced solutions to Melbourne's problems. Now, those things are unfunded and all of those sort of caveats. So, yes, it's all very nice and all sounds very much like what they went to the last election with. Really, we're saying that there's only one other element they need to do, which is to take this project to the people as part of that election. That's the one of that really is the fundamental bad governance that's going on is let's get this project committed to before people have a chance to make a judgment on it.
And which is also the other element of this particular government, and maybe it's not the it's not unusual, but they've actually actively been exposed as just lying. So they didn't build the Doncaster line.
Yep.
They did want to build the East-West link, even though they said they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So in leading up to this election, they're saying, oh, we're going to build a rail to the airport, which almost makes me go into apoplectic laughing fits into the corner of the studio.
Yes, I think you're entitled to be very cynical about those promises because, yeah, as you can say, they can be matched against the last election very clearly of broken promises. It's also, look, it's very hard for people to keep track, even just with the East-West Link project, of statements that were made a year ago are now completely denied. And, you know, the East-West Link, according to the government's own statements, it's going to have no effect on the traffic on the Eastern Freeway, which is the whole still used by many people as the rationale of why you should support this. And it's like, no, the government's admitted it'll actually make traffic much worse on the Eastern Freeway. It'll be more of a car park. And it's not going to improve the traffic in the city. And in terms of even the one thing that it's supposed to do, which is to get traffic off Alexander Parade, it's like that will last 10 years at most before it's back to its current levels. And it's so, but it's very hard if you're trying to follow this casually. There's so much information that's being contradicted and reworked. No one really has a chance to understand what the hell this project's all about.
Except for, say, some personal interests, perhaps.
Oh, yes, look, that's I think that's the whole point of why we're so supportive of this action is because it's not clear that this project is being done for the public interest. And the government should be forced to substantiate that it's not, that's what we want from a government is that they're not acting for particular interests, but they're acting all the time in every decision for the broader interests of the community. And that is what transparency is about. You should expect to be able to demonstrate that. And they haven't with this project. And there's very, very legitimate concerns about why this project is being built.
I'm talking to Megan Fitzgerald, solicitor from Fitzroy Legal Service. Now, Megan, on Tuesday the 22nd of April, proceedings were commenced in the Supreme Court against the Victorian Government and the Linking Melbourne Authority, alleging misleading conduct over the claimed benefits of the East-West Link. Can you tell us a little bit about what the proceedings of this action?
So as you said, it's a claim, an allegation's been made that free representations within the short form of the business case were misleading, and they relate to the cost-benefit analysis, the net economic benefit that has been alleged will derive from this project, and also in relation to traffic modelling volumes. And then there's a further allegation that standard methodology hasn't been relied on in making those representations, and it's a case that's been brought under state legislation that's usually used to regulate fair trade and trade practices. And it's, I guess, in a way, a test case because of the public-private partnership that's been relied on in order to develop this project and further its objectives. So we're sort of looking at whether the state might be governed by the types of legislation that govern corporations when they make representations in relation to the benefits that projects might deliver.
So has it been accepted as by the Supreme Court? At what stage is it at?
It's at the very, very early stage. So we've just lodged proceedings. There'll be a directions hearing in a couple of weeks where we'll have a better idea of how the litigation might proceed. I think it's worth mentioning that this particular action is, there's a range of activities and processes around this project, and this litigation is sort of just one element of that, and it's very specifically focused on the business representations. And I guess in a couple of weeks we'll have a better sense of how the proceeding might progress and what the timelines around it might be.
The Fitzroy Legal Services is doing it in tandem with Shine Lawyers. How does that operate?
So because we're quite a small community legal centre and we have limited resources, we often work, well, we invariably work in partnership with pro bono organisations and volunteers and that sort of thing. And in this particular litigation, we're working with Shine Lawyers, and there's also three pro bono barristers who are also providing advice. And it's, I guess, because there's quite a lot of various interests at stake in this project, we've had to be a little bit creative in the way that the litigation's brought. So, yeah, it's a partnership with Shine Lawyers, which is quite a well-known plaintiff firm.
So you have to have a plaintiff. And, so can you explain those kind of elements?
Yeah, so under this particular legislative scheme, it's standing is more flexible than it might be under other legislative schemes, and a litigant can bring an action, and it's very much related to preventing misleading conduct. And when we say misleading conduct, basically, if there's not reasonable grounds for making a representation, then it can be held to be misleading for that reason. And we've worked very closely with community groups and residents groups and so on. And Tony Murphy is the person that's brought the litigation. It's a very stressful, difficult process to be involved in public interest litigation, and he's taken that role on.
The proceedings aren't just against the Victorian government, but it's also against the Linking Melbourne Authority. Why is that so? Why does it have to be both of them?
Well, the representations have been made. They're not exclusively made by the government. They're also made by the Linking Melbourne Authority, so that's the reason that they're a party.
Are they considered to be a commercial outfit, the Linking Melbourne Authority?
No, they're a statutory authority, but the question is whether they're engaged in trade and commerce or conducting a business. So that's likely to be where a lot of the litigation might initially be focused. So because this is, I mean, the allegation we're making is that this is essentially a commercial enterprise where there's a benefit and loss risk that's being taken on by the state, and it bears what we'll be arguing is that it bears the hallmarks of a commercial enterprise.
Now, assuming that in the direction hearing that it goes further to be judged, you know, where it goes into court proceedings, how long, what would be the next phase?
After that?
Yeah.
I think it's quite unpredictable, but I expect that both sides will have an interest in expediting the proceedings, so making them happen more quickly. But basically that sets down the timeline for a delivery of a defence and any discovery that might occur and any hearing dates. And there may be applications to strike out the proceeding and that sort of thing. All of that happens within this context.
Okay. And interestingly enough, the Robert Clark, the Victorian Attorney General, is quoted as saying serial pests who habitually break the law should be held to account when they then try to use the legal system to pursue their obsessions. Do you think that that might have some sort of negative effect on the approach, or what do you think he's saying in fact?
I don't want to comment too much about that, but what I can say is that if you're a vexatious litigant and you've been shown to use the courts with a case that had, you know, abused the court process essentially, that would be very relevant consideration, but that's not the situation that we're looking at. And we're very focused on the actual case before the court, not the individual or any individuals, you know, like involved in this element or that element. I mean, this is really about the case that's been brought and whether it has merit or not, and that's going to be a matter for the courts.
Remind us again, the direction hearing will be in a few weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks' time. Okay. So we'll that's keep correct. Our ears to the ground to see what happens next.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks very much, Megan.
No problem. Thank you.
You've been listening to 3CR Breakfast, community news and independent current affairs.
I'm Claire Burns.
Adrian Wong.
Diana Beaumont.
Kaden Nick.
Rihanna Whitson.
Con and Dean.
Katie Weiss.
The uranium mining area.
Shake-up of the Australian Defence Force.
It's women who seem to miss out yet again.
Coal-fired power station.
Carbon price mechanism.
Ongoing protests in Egypt.
Some current affairs goodness for you this morning.
3CR's Tuesday Breakfast Show.
Wednesday Breakfast.
Thursday Breakfast.
Friday Breakfast.
We've got a massive show today.
Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. until 8:30 a.m. on 3CR Digital, 855 on the AM dial, and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. One of these days, and it won't be long.